Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am joined by Leah Frazier, who helps businesses create their brand presence and achieve their goals at Think3 Media. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. I'm sure we're going to have a great conversation today. So I like everybody to learn a little bit more about my guests. So why don't you share a little bit about you and your leadership journey so we know where you're at today?
Sure. So I'm actually an attorney by trade.
Okay.
Law school into private practice and didn't stay there very long until I decided I wanted to work for myself. And so I had started a business part-time on the side in fashion and just learned so many things about marketing and media. Social media wasn't really a big thing there, but just met so many businesses that I wanted to help with that particular avenue. So I left law to start my own business.
Nice.
And shortly after I did, because I didn't have the business savvy, I actually ended up losing quite a bit.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I lost it all. But I learned a lot there on the bottom ground on how to properly set up the business, how to charge what I was worth, how to do the things that really brought me joy and to attract the type of clientele that I needed, not only to have a sustainable business, but so that I could wake up and feel like I had purpose every single day.
Yeah, absolutely. Purpose is something we all want, right? When it comes to our roles. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it makes a really big difference in how you perform. It makes a big difference in the type of clients that you attract. And I'm just happy to say that it's almost been a decade that Think3 Media has been in existence. We've helped over 400 small businesses with branding, marketing. We've kind of transitioned post-pandemic into just strictly communications and PR, but it has been an absolute joy to bring amplification to people's stories through their businesses in a way that they couldn't necessarily do it themselves. And so I think it was a good idea that I left my lawyer life behind.
It's interesting. We always start thinking we're going to do one thing and we move into another, you know, especially people who do tend to grow up those corporate or leadership ladders. In your case, it was business. Because I started thinking when I was in started university, I was going to be a French teacher. That never happened. You know, I just ended up going the corporate route and, you know, leading a division in Canada until I did my own business. So very interesting where we all think we're going to start to where we actually, you know, eventually end up. So let me ask you this then, because you did talk about loss. And I know, you know, a lot of people, if they don't lead well or they don't think about their businesses well, in this case, you didn't have the experience, right, that you lose a lot at the beginning. So when you think back to that obstacle that you had, that challenge, and you think about how was I leading my business, what would you say is like the biggest thing you learned from that experience?
I think during that experience, I was leading almost probably 90% by heart and 10% strategy. And so I'm a very empathetic person. I lead with a lot of passion. And I think, especially in entrepreneurship, you can get caught up in the passion and this is what I love to do. And so because I love to do it and I'm very passionate, everything's going to work out. And that strategy piece is missing where it's like, how much revenue do I want to make per year? What am I charging for my services? Backing into that number, you know, having a growth strategy, scaling, all of those things I had no idea about.
Yeah.
And so I always try to talk to folks, especially if you're going from I'm working full time, I'm building my hustle on the side or my business, where I really try to, it's great to have that passion, but I try to pull them out of the passion and to go into strategy. They can both work. It's like peanut butter and jelly.
Oh yeah. So it's like a way of putting it. You need both. You need both. You have to have passion.
You need a little extra jelly if you're.
Yeah, you do.
And so I think that was the biggest lesson that I learned is just being very strategic. And I've taken that with me, that planning and that strategy to this day, to make sure that the business stays afloat and that we're successful and that we're growing year after year.
And I think you really have it really well there. Like it really, passion you need. But if you don't have the strategy, you can fail, fall behind. Like in leadership, if you're not doing where the company's going and you're sitting back 10 years ago, guess what? Like we're going to start to see that shift. And so it's really, really, really important to have those strategies in place. So what, if it's okay to ask, what do you normally tell your clients as tip, like a tip or a place to start when we've got that passion, but we forgot about the strategy? Like, where is the starting point that you normally share on strategy? Or is it dependent on what they're looking for?
It really is dependent on what they're looking for, and all businesses are different. So a retail business is going to be a little bit different than somebody that has a digital or e-commerce strategy. But the funny piece is that in starting with all of it, you do start with your story. You start with a storytelling piece. You do start with the why. And so why are you starting your business? Why are you selling what you're trying to sell? What is the story that you're trying to tell? Because that then helps you to reach that target customer. However, we then have to build the strategy that helps you hit that target. So, ironically, you do start with the passion. Like, why are you here? What's the story that we want to tell? What are your values? And then we build the strategy piece, taking those pieces, because these are the stories you're going to tell on social media. These are the stories that you are going to put on the website. When you have press or you're on the news, these are the stories that you're going to tell. But if you get all the eyes on you and you get all the human beings that are connecting with your story, but you don't have your business set up on the back end, you don't have the products in the warehouse, or your hyperlinks on your website doesn't work, then all of that passion and all of the storytelling that you're doing is for nothing. We work with clients to make sure strategically, what is the marketing plan? And what is your overall business plan? Because being in communications and PR will bring you the eyeballs. But if you're not converting the eyeballs that we're bringing to you, whether that's on your website or they're going to the link in your bio and social media, then this is all for nothing.
It's interesting you mentioned planning, which is really important. So it is literally right now as we're recording December 2024. And I literally just finished my 25 business plan and marketing plan as a coach, consultant, and trainer. So anybody in service, in retail, in any kind of organization, small or big, I mean, for us, there's only two of us, right? Small or big, you need some sort of planning in place. And as leaders too, I remember in my corporate world, not only just doing the division, but when I only led a department, I've got to plan that too. It's not just for the business owners, right? The business plan needs to come together. So what are your thoughts of that about our maybe our new leaders that are out there in a small or large organization who are like, okay, I'm learning, right? What are your thoughts for them? Because I remember it being like, wow, overwhelming right when I was first a manager, right?
I am going to agree with you 110% because it is still overwhelming for me. But it's one of those things where it's like you got to sit down and you have to do it. And it helps you to just brain dump, get all the things you want to do for your business out. But then again, you're strategically planning, you're backing into whatever, if there's things you want to launch or services that you want to make sure that you want to do, a community you want to build. It makes it less stressful down the road because you've mapped it all out ahead of time. One of the things that works best for folks who, if you feel like I'm kind of sitting down and it's overwhelming and I'm just going to put this to the side, possibly getting yourself into a mastermind or find your own business community of like-minded leaders where you can get together and plan together. I did this with another colleague here. We went out to some cabins, ironically, in Texas.
Nice.
And we went for 3 days, and that's where we started planning 2025. We got away from the muck, but it's that having that other person that can hold you accountable and you're doing it together in community, especially if you're a small business owner, that can help you plan it out and then
Yeah.
hopefully execute as well.
Yeah, so that's where like coaches like myself or mentors, or like you were mentioning too, just other leaders and communities like that. Mentors are really great if you have one in your organization because they've done this. You could sit down with someone who maybe did this for 10 years and just get their thought process on at least where to start, depending on what your organization does for planning. I mean, it's not an easy thing to get through, and but it needs done. You're right, the absolute must. Right. I mean, if we don't get the planning done, how can we grow our business?
Exactly. And then
Yeah.
knowing the numbers.
So I wrote about that recently in a blog. I'm like, know your numbers, the financial, your key performance indicators, you got to know them. So tell me, why do you tell people this? I know why I'm passionate about it, but why are you?
I mean, it was the same reason for why I felt like there was that failure in the beginning. I did it all off of passion, and I really didn't know what it would take for the business to thrive and grow. So again, it was those numbers that, how much are you spending just to acquire the customer? And then how much is it costing you to keep them retained? And then how often are they repurchasing from you? And all of those little numbers matter, especially if you're being intentional about your growth. How do you know you want to grow to 3 times your size, or maybe take a six-figure business to a seven-figure business, if you don't even know those little minute details that tell you, well, if it costs me X to acquire this customer, then I'm going to have to do this how many more times, and then break it down per month, per your plan you're going to create in order to reach the goal. And I wasn't doing that at first, so I was running it like a hustle. But the moment you start being more strategic, that's when it then becomes a business that you're trying to scale for growth.
And I really like that you talk about the return on investment because a lot of people think of return on investment as profit to expenses. How much money did I make? But really, it's, when you mention like how many more clients, how many more sales do I need to get up there? And then the question is, do I have the resources? You know, a corporation to sole proprietors, do you have the resources to get to that next step? And that's where that marketing plan can come in and help them, or how they do their PR and communication, which I know that you were focusing on a little bit more, right? I mean, we've got to figure out that we can get there in the first place, or do we need those additional resources? Or do we need that additional marketing? Or do we need to do more PR, public relations, or communicate differently, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. It opens your eyes to so many things, and it opens your eyes to what you really need versus what you thought that you need.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm gonna flip to a communication question here for you, because I know this is something that you obviously you do. So I want you to think back to when you first were going into your entrepreneurship journey, and now 10 years later, how has your communication changed, either with your direct employees or contractors or or maybe even your customers? Like how's your communication developed?
I would say for those that work for me, when I first started, I didn't really have like a plan or I wanted I knew how I felt when I was an employee. So I tried to be, a little laid back, give you a little freedom. I wasn't really, I don't want to say that I wasn't a leader because I feel like I was, but I really wasn't empowering or using the employee to the best of their abilities as I am now. There was this frustration where I tried to hire folks who were just like me, and then I had to learn that no, that's
Diversity is great.
great. Yeah, diversity is great because then that's how I learn as a leader. But also, I'm not trying to be their friend either, because then that's when communication fails a little bit, or where things just don't get done to the specifications that they need to get done. And so I look at myself as a leader now, and I look for people who have opposite qualities of me. I think the most powerful lesson I learned along the way was from, and I think I heard Gary Vee talking about this, like, we always want to hire tens, and sometimes you just need to hire a five or a six on the scale to delegate. And once I heard that, I was like, oh, okay, I don't have to have this perfect employee. I can take them at a five or a six. I can cultivate their strengths and then empower them to be creative or to be great at the strengths that they have rather than being upset that they're not a 10. And so I'm definitely a different leader today. And my keyword that I use time after time again is just empowerment. I'm always looking like, how can I empower those who work for me to be their absolute best self within their skill set versus what I wish that they had or what I want for them to have, but what they already have within them.
And okay, so I love this because you talk a lot of things that I talk with my clients as well, which is, what are your people's strengths? Let's use them to the best ability. If they have weaknesses, there's probably somebody who has a strength. So your team can actually help each other out, right? So love that. And the empowerment piece too allows people to really feel like they're growing with you, right? Like they have that chance to learn and grow and feel really appreciated in that they're doing what they can do. And so they go from a five to being a 10, right?
Right. Well, we have a current project right now where there was just a little bit of frustration on where we had someone who said they did all these things, and then we get into the project and it wasn't necessarily how it was presented to us. And then I had to take that step back and be like, okay, I thought you had, the 10. In reality, it's probably the 6. So how can I empower this individual to really just go knock it out with the 6? And once I was able to do that, have that very honest discussion, it has been night and day between the work product that we now get back, and I'm very, very happy about it. But it took being very transparent. And then again, as a leader, it's like, okay, how can I empower you with what you have versus what we thought you had when you first got into this thing, and it's not necessarily what it appeared to be.
And it's almost like that you, as a leader, you're collaborating with them on what's going to work for you. So we have the best outcome. Is that kind of how you do
Yeah, and you have to do it almost delicately because you don't
it?
want to do it in a way where then the individual shuts down. So it's almost like you're doing this dance between, okay, here's what you're amazing at. So how can we just take that to the next level? You're affirming them and their gifts and talents and kind of almost doing this little pivot. But I think that's what makes leaders great is that they are mindfully aware of their employees. They're mindfully aware of their feelings, their emotions, their talents, and then making the little adjustments along the way instead of everything just staying stagnant because they're either not paying attention or you're afraid to step on somebody's toes. Or again, you're wishing for the 10 and you're ticked because you don't have the 10 when you have the 6. So it's just this mindful awareness throughout your tenure of leadership and empowering whoever's working for you.
And then if your six can't move from a six, do you still use them as a six in what they're really strong at? Or is it that that person maybe just doesn't want to grow? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
There are
She's
the ones
laughing. Something happened.
that don't want to grow. There are the ones that don't want to grow. And so then you as a leader just have to figure out, okay, there are people that just aren't going to be as passionate about your business or the roles that you put them in. And so sometimes you just have to sit with that. Is that, are they the person that clocks in and clocks out and goes home? They're not going to be above and beyond. And again, that is okay.
Yes,
However,
sometimes you need that.
sometimes you need that. You're going to have to delegate, and you just need the person that's going to follow the task. And that is okay. And you have to just come to an acceptance with your expectations, like, out of this person, this is what I get. But you may have the 6 who just needs the extra push to grow. And you, as the leader, just being again aware of that and figuring out, what do you need to go from A to Z? Because I have this one intern who is like that, and he is so passionate. And there's things he's amazing at, and there's others where it's like, that needs a lot of work. But it's that drive and that hunger for it where you do anything to empower them in that way so that one day they can get there even though they're not there yet. So it's a those are two different employees.
For sure. And they exist. I mean, some people do just want to come to work, clock in, clock out, get the job done. And they're the task-oriented people, and they're okay with that. And you're right, we do need those people, not all the time, but in some cases, right? You just need that person that you can say, hey, I need this done, right? And they do it for you. But I love that you empower your employees and recognizing that if someone isn't strong. I remember one time someone going into a supervisor role that wasn't strong when they got there. And so offer them a little something else and change the role, right? So that it fit their strengths. So I love that you talk about the empowerment and their strengths. And a six can be a 10 when we do it right. And they need the passion. That's
Exactly.
their piece, right?
Exactly. And it's communication. Like, if you have that ongoing conversation and you're very transparent, then they can open up to you of the things that they're passionate about, they're skillful at, or again, you can have that awareness. It'll reveal itself to you, and then you can make adjustments along the way. And in that particular intern, he's grown by leaps and bounds once I figured out,
Awesome.
like, okay, he's an amazing photographer. He's so detailed with behind the scenes documentation, and he's good at that. So let's yank him off of SEO
Whatever else.
and all of that stuff. And we need to put you more in a creative space than over here in more of the journalism role, at which it just wasn't your bag. And that's okay.
And so I want to come back again to something that we started with this little bit of the conversation is the word communication, because when we don't communicate with our employees, we don't ask them how they're doing, or we don't ask for that feedback, we don't even know if they're happy. So if we're having those regular, collaborative, wonderful conversations, just how's everything going? You know, I see you're struggling here. Why don't we try this? Or like, as you're mentioning, right, really empowering them where they're strong. That communication turns into making those employees those tens, right?
Yeah. And I think just having it regularly, a part of your, it could be, weekly meetings, bi-weekly meetings, whatever works best for you is important. Because as a leader, just as much as it's important for you to pour into them, it's just as important for you to listen. And I
Oh,
often
yes.
ask, what can I be doing better? Because maybe our communication styles are not even the same. So it could be nonverbal communication or something verbally that I'm saying that's shutting them down. Whereas if we're having these open and honest conversations, they can tell me, like, when you do this or you present it in this manner, kind of makes me feel this way. Or, and I think being transparent and having a leader that actually listens to their employees also makes a world of difference on what you'll be able to pull out of those that are under your leadership.
Yeah, and with communication, I tell a lot of organizations the same thing as you. It's about, you know, who are you talking to and how do they communicate? I even put this in my training that I do because it's so important to not just make the assumption that everybody's okay with a text message or everybody is always going to be using the swear words or what. I come from trucking and transportation, you hear it. You know, not everybody communicates in those ways. Some people like what you and I are doing, which is the video chat, right? Some people do well with email because maybe, you know, maybe they have hearing issues. Who knows, right? I mean, there's so many different things. So really understanding the communication, how people communicate, and making sure you take in that feedback, like you mentioned. I always used to say, tell people, ask them, how am I doing as a leader? And if you're uncomfortable, start with what resources do you need? Is there anything I can do to support you? Because they'll start to open up, right? I'm sure you've seen that.
I've definitely seen that, and I know I can go 90 miles a minute, and I'm pie in the sky ideas, and I don't mind asking, like, how could I be doing this better? And when it is open and honest, sometimes it doesn't feel good because you want, everybody to go along with your leadership, but then it's very eye-opening to be like, you know what? I wasn't too clear on how that works, or I haven't been clear on this and that. And then you're able to make those changes so that it is a better work environment. You're building a better culture for your employees. So,
Yeah, absolutely.
very
I think you and I could probably sit here and chat about communication all day long because it is a hot topic for me too. So
important. It is.
I want to leave. Let's say our new leaders something from you today? I mean, everybody can take these tips, of course, but if you have brand new leaders out there and you wanted to share a big tip on communication so they can get started on better communication with their teams, what would you say that big tip is? Or even for those leaders who are struggling, what would you say that big tip is?
The big tip that I have is just having more mindful leadership. And so, that being said, as we discussed before, it's not about you always just taking leading and it's you doing the talking and the delegating and all of that. It's you actually taking the step back and seeing, being very painfully aware of like how are my employees performing, how do they feel around me, listening. So doing those, whether it's a survey or just setting aside that time weekly or biweekly to have those meetings to get that feedback is so important. And I know when I came up in corporate, we did not have those. You don't tell your boss how you feel around your leading. And so I think if we can bring that sense of presence to our employees, we'll definitely be able to not only lead better, but we'll be able to get the best out of them.
100% agree. What a great conversation today. I think you and I have a lot in common with how we do these things.
Thank
Let me
you.
ask you this. If our audience wanted to know more about you or about your business, is there a way they can find you online?
Absolutely. So our website is think3, spell three all the way out, media.com. Or you can just shoot me an email, super easy, Leah, Leah, at think3media.com, and I'll respond when I get to it.
That's amazing. Thank you. What a great conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences and tips today.
Thank you. This was great.
Of course, we want to thank our audience today, too. We do hope you were able to gain some valuable information or tips today. If you are a leader who knows that leadership coaching, consulting, and community are a way to grow on your journey, please feel free to visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Life coaching and business services division. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.